Hallelujah. Well, we are, last week, we were talking about healing, and what a great time to talk about it, amen?
Yeah.
Just to talk about these things because, amen. And we're going to also look at some scriptures about when everything seems lost and discouragement, what to do when you don't know what to do, right? Mm-hmm. Ever felt like that, especially in this environment where many people, you just don't know what to do sometimes. You know, you're like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. We're going to keep plowing forward. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, how'd you like to be, we got, you know, some folks in there in the military, how'd you like to be in the military? And then all of a sudden it's like, I give up. Right? That wouldn't be very good, right? You know, you just don't give up on people. Hello? And so we're not giving up on you. Don't you give up on your neighbor and don't give up on God. Amen? Because and I found often that the blessing or the breakthrough comes when you don't expect it, right? The check shows up in the mail when you don't, sometimes when you least expect it. You know, the person that you've been believing for turns around when you least expect it, right? When everything looks awful, sometimes that's when God's turning things around.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
You know, when somebody goes to jail and you know, they get in trouble. Praise God! That's a time of mercy for people, right? And it depends on how we're going to look at things through life, right? Well, it's awful and terrible, and this person's in jail, or this is awful, and this looks terrible, everything looks terrible. No, God is granting them mercy. Or, you know, again, maybe when we're believing for something we don't see exactly the way we want it to, you know, God still loves us and he's full of compassion, he's full of mercy. Well, one of the things we were talking about last week is healing is a manifestation of God's compassion and his mercy on us, right? And we also saw, let's look at Deuteronomy 7:15. We read this last week. I don't have time to get through all the scriptures last week. But that morning I sat down with just a few scriptures for healing scriptures that I just kind of, Saturday morning I kind of put about 100 scriptures down. I was like, hey, and I started going, right? And I got up early last Saturday morning and then just kind of went in geek mode and wrote down a bunch of scriptures. And so, amen. But it was good. And I sensed the anointing. Every time you're reading the word or you're speaking the word, whether your mind is comprehending or not, things are happening in the spirit realm.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
We see that for Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, right? Mm-hmm. Hebrews 4, 12 says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. What is it doing? Dividing the soul and the spirit asunder, right? Mm-hmm. What it is, it's dividing and it's delineating between your thought process and God's thought process, right? Sometimes you can sit back and you can say, well, was that me or was that God? Well, get the word out. Right? Then that'll expose who you are. And that's sometimes it's good. You know, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Now, it's not only just for an attack, but there's surgery going on sometimes too, which means we're cutting things out. God is removing things. He's taking things out of us and he's putting new things in. Amen? So the word is going to do some things to you and it's going to reveal where you're at and it's going to expose some things to you. And I want God to expose things in my life, right? That I need to come up in another level. I need to do things. I need him to remove things out of my life, put things into me. And there's only things that can happen that are supernatural, right? Let me ask you, have you ever seen people or you've been in that type of person where you've made the same mistakes or you've done the same sin or the same habits or the same thing over and over and over again, year after year after year? Well, the word of God can break those things. Right? And there are just some things in our life that are only going to be broken by the Lord. Mm-hmm. He's the one that's going to set us free, right? And so, or there's just some people that are just going for life and it just, only God can step in and break things in our life. So, Deuteronomy 7:15 says, and the Lord, excuse me, will take away from thee all sickness, and I will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all that what? Hate thee. sickness is for a bunch of God haters and a bunch of haters of God's people. It's never was meant for, was never meant to be here, guys. Never was. I mean, you know, I'm no doctor, but I do know this. I don't play one on TV either. So, but the point is that our white blood cells, our body was designed to never get sick. We have things in our body that will fight sickness and disease, right? Because God created it that way. I was kind of a side journey. I was listening to a, so embarrassing, this guy. And this guy was an atheist, and he was arguing against, you know, this creationist, and they were arguing back and forth. And, I was listening to it, and it was at, it was at Notre Dame University here just the other day. I was watching. And within about 15 minutes, I thought, dude, give it up. Like, the atheist, you know, after a while. I mean, it just, the evidence is so overwhelming. It, when we come down to intelligent design, the way that our body automatically fights diseases, there are things that God has programmed into us to ward off diseases. And I mean, it was so overwhelming. And we were never designed to have sickness on us. We were never designed to die. We were never designed to die. Our bodies really were designed to live forever. So again, sickness, you know, that's what I just can't understand people. You know, well, you know, God put sickness on people. Well, if he put sickness on people and it's God's will for people to get sick, why did he put white blood cells in our body to defend sickness? Hello? God is not an oxymoron, is he? He is not a confused schizophrenic nut job. No, he is, we are, the Bible is so wonderful. It says we are beautifully and wonderfully made. God created us so wonderful. Now, we're in this sinful world, so things get messed up, but it's not by God's design. It is not by God's design. You know, Deuteronomy 28, we talked about that. In the first part of Deuteronomy 28, you can go back and listen to the message, or you can go read it yourself. But the first part of Deuteronomy 28 talks about the blessings that will come upon you for those who love God and want to follow him. There's blessings, right? Your body's going to be healed. Your body's going to be blessed. Your finances are going to be blessed. From about 15, 16 on, the rest of the chapter, it talks about a lot of gross stuff that you don't want to be involved in, right? It just, you know, like verse 27, you know, the Lord, you're going to be afflicted with boils, the boils of Egypt, and tumors and scurvy. I thought scurvy was a name you called somebody in grade school, right? You're a scurvy. But that really does exist, right? I mean, King James says it. One of my favorite parts of King James is talking about, I think it's in James, partaking no filthy lucre. You know, that to me is the most quintessential, nasty sounding filthy lucre, right? You know, would you like a glass of filthy lucre? You know, it just sounds nasty. Well, we don't want any part of that junk at all. And it goes on, it says, an itch, which what? Cannot be cured. I don't want any part of that, right? And then there's a lot of other things. And of course, we read John 10:10, which from the New Living Translation says that thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Glory to God. God wants us to have good things, right? And I don't like wasting my time arguing with somebody who wants to argue with me about how God is trying to kill people. That's just craziness. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it at all. And so we looked at some other things. Now, let's look here at Psalms 91, I read this, but there's some other scriptures. We're not going to go super long tonight. But we're going to touch on, I believe, some good scriptures here. Psalms 91, verse 10 through 16, and it says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy near thy dwelling. We've got a bloodline, guys. I remember Adrian and I were talking, and there's an individual that, I don't know, was he talking about the bloodline? Those demons were in his house, and he put a bloodline. Was that somebody at Bethel that we were talking about? But anyway, so there was a guy that he would have the gift of the gifts of discernment, the discerning of spirits that are in 2 Corinthians, right? And out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, the veil, was it the veil? Okay, so we're reading the veil. And the veil, he was talking about, he was there one time, and how these demons were, the Lord, you know, has this often the gift of, discerning his spirit, so we can see in the spirit realm. Now, I've had that happen to me before. But what he did was the Lord spoke to him and said, proclaim, they were in his house and he saw them. He said, proclaim a bloodline around your property so they cannot escape, and over them. He proclaimed a bloodline over them and around them, and they couldn't escape, and they were in torture. Yeah. Right?
Because he would worship.
Yeah. And he would worship, so they couldn't leave. And it was torturing. Why? Because they cannot cross that bloodline. Yeah. Amen? The blood of Jesus, the stripes of Jesus have healed us, and they have no power against the blood. Amen. And they were screaming and absolutely in pain, and he did it forever. And, oh, that would have been wonderful to see that. And then finally he released them, right? Because you don't want those clowns in your house. So you got him out. But the point is, they could not cross that bloodline. Amen? We have a bloodline also that we can proclaim around our house. Amen? No sickness, no disease. We see 9 or 1st Psalm. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now this is also from, now again, the Egyptians. So when we see that in Goshen, which was where the Israelites were at, okay, there was a place where the Israelites were at, the slaves stayed, and then we know where the Egyptians stayed. Now, when the Bible talks about, and you'll see this in Exodus, where the Bible will say that there was darkness that day for the Egyptians, there was a curtain. There was literally a dividing line, a curtain, where the Egyptians had complete darkness, and you would step over into Goshen where the Israelites were at, the Hebrews were at, and it was daylight there. Now, I'm sorry, but if I'm Egyptian, I am freaking out. And I am going to go ahead and hang out. Now, when they left, the Hebrews left Egypt, there were many of the Egyptians who went with them, right? Because they're like, okay, we've been serving false gods here. Literally, you could see that, right? The blood on the doorposts in Egypt, right? The death angel could not go into that property because of the blood. And it was symbolic of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Everything there was symbolic of Christ. The blood along the door, everything. That whole thing is pointing to Jesus and to the blood that was redeemed. So the death angel could not go into that. The same here with this 91st Psalm. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Because of that blood along the doorposts, that blood on ours, it cannot come. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. I've said this before. I remember a pastor, this little boy was with him one time, and this little boy was, I remember him talk, this man was, years ago, I was younger. I was probably in junior high or grade school at the time when I heard this testimony. But this guy was giving this testimony that this pastor was given a ride home, and he was a little boy. And he said, pastor pulled over to pick up this man to give him a ride. And this man pulled a gun on him to rob him. And the pastor said, no, you don't. No, you don't. And he had a revolver, and a revolver, it takes a hammer, so it when it goes, it clicks, and the firing pin goes, and it hits the back of the bullet, and it ignites it. So the hammer has to go down on the gun. Well, this little boy, he shut the door. The pastor shut the door, and they started driving. And he said, this little boy's eyes, he goes, oh, my goodness. And this guy was trying to shoot the gun, and this, he said this probably like 9-foot angel had his finger in between the hammer. So we have angels that are protecting us that we don't even know about, right? His finger was in the hammer, so this man couldn't shoot the gun. And he was shooting the gun, and he was looking at it, and he was shooting the gun. This little boy was you know, in the back seat looking through the back window, right? So we have angels all the time because we're believers. Yeah. And we need to believe these things, guys, yeah, that God is not only do we have a bloodline around us, but we're also protected. Amen? Yeah. I mean, it's hunting season, and you know, I remember as a kid one time, you know, and I'd be out there, you know, when I was younger, I really didn't have a lot of revelation, too much of anything, kind of, you know, young and dumb. But I remember times where one time I was hunting and I moved my head just slightly enough and a slug went right by my head and I moved just enough, right? And there's several times I've happened. I almost drowned when I was a kid. And then I don't remember anything other than I was being pulled out of a pool. And all I know is I went down a slide and I was pulled out of a pool and I was laying on the side of the pool and I don't know how I got there. Right? So we see that God's protection and his provision is everywhere. And it's also for healing. Amen? So God cares about every aspect of our life. Every aspect, every little detail about our lives, he is concerned about us, and he has mercy and compassion on us. Amen. Amen. James chapter, let's get to where we're going tonight. Well, let's look at James chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, and then we're going to go to James chapter 1. But we touch base on, excuse me, now, I got to touch base on the scriptures that we did last week, but you can read it and listen to the message from last week. But James 5:14 and 6 through 16 says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Here we go. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. So again, it's not anything we do, but it's the Lord. And if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, there's one time where, you know, the disciples, we don't have time to turn there tonight, but when Jesus was healing, he healed the lame man. And what is the first thing the disciples said? They said, who sinned, this man's mother or father, right? Because in Hebrew time, if somebody's crippled, if somebody's sick, if somebody's ill, it's a result of what? Sin. It's a result of disobedience, right? We don't think that way nowadays. I mean, everything back then. Well, Jesus said, well, neither. He didn't. He was born like that. But then what happens is when Jesus heals him, I find it interesting that Jesus goes back and finds the man, right? Because what did he do? He said, well, go to the temple, let them, you know, the Mosaic law, let them proclaim that you are now clean. And what do they say? Well, who healed you? What happened? What happened? And they're asking about, you know, you got healed on the Sabbath, who healed you? And the guy said, I don't know who it was. And then Jesus came back, and what did he say? Go and sin no more. What? Lest the worst thing come upon you. So anytime we read about healing, there's always, often, sometimes an element of sin that needs to be forgiven, right? Now, it doesn't necessarily always mean, but sometimes there is an element that we need to repent, right? I was just talking about before church. You know, I have a problem sometimes of not getting the rest that I need, right? And so I'm not taking care of my body like I should. So sometimes this week I got run down, not just because I'm necessarily in sin or anything, but I did disobey and say, instead of, you know, getting the rest and taking some time, and I did this week, obviously, but I'll get myself sometimes where I won't take care of my body. I won't get the rest that I need. I'll run myself too ragged, and then what happens? You know, you can open yourself up. Amen. So sometimes we just need to reevaluate ourselves and say, okay, where did I miss it, God? And if you don't get anything, then just, again, worship God, meditate in the Word. But sometimes there is something where you do miss it, and you need to repent for your stupidity or, you know, just sin or things you've done. I've done it. Hey, you know, it's like, I remember Brother Hagin talking about that too. He doesn't take care of himself, and then what happens? You know, something happens. Now, I'll just say this. If symptoms come upon you, it doesn't mean you're in sin, right? For example, I can come to you and say, hey, let's go rob a bank. Now, are you bad if I come to ask you if it's to rob a bank? No. If you act on it, then yeah, that's wrong, okay? But so symptoms are not necessarily a bad, doesn't mean you're bad or you're evil, but what it does mean is you need to stand your ground against it. Amen? Yeah, let's go rob that bank. That sounds like a good time. No, you don't want to do that. And then it says, confess your faults one to another. Now, this is such a popular message today in the church, isn't it? You know, we're just going to get, I've never been in a church service where we have a confess your sins session, right? Yeah. Well, I don't see anybody here today for this sermon. It's not a Holy Ghost time, right? How'd you like to advertise that? Sin confession service, right? Oh my goodness. There'll be plenty of seats for that one left over. But anyway, lots of room for that one. And then it goes on, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 1, 2 through 8. Let's read that. Amen. We are, I'm going to read out of the King James. I don't want to read out of the New Living Translation. This is kind of where we want to get to, but it says, James 1, 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, how many feel like just jumping up and down when something, right, when temptation comes or anything? I'm pretty sure Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego sitting in the furnace, right, or at least when those doors open and the guys, the guards got killed before they even got there, my knee's bending now. I mean, maybe, you know, it's a miracle. I can bend my knees now, Nebuchadnezzar. No, right? Well, glory to God, I'm healed. I can bend my knee. No, they didn't. They went. There were uncomfortable times in the world. Well, and then what happened? Nebuchadnezzar says, well, I don't know about you, but it looks like the Son of God is in there with them, right? And then what happened when they came out? Nebuchadnezzar was like, we're serving your God from here on out, right? But knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. I don't like that word, patience. How many like that? You know, I've learned a long time ago, don't pray for patience. That's one of those, you know, that's one of those prayers where it's like, I don't know. I don't think I want to pray for that one. Patience, right? Patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The process of patience. 2020 has been a year of patience, hasn't it? Yeah. Oh my goodness, right? Yeah. We had this whole year planned out. We were going to do things and this and that and the first vacation in years and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, ah! <You know>? I want to... That's my definition of 2020. 2020, man. It's been awful for everybody, right? But it's not comfortable, and I just don't like it. But then right after that, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. Now, I want to read it in the New Living Translation. It's a little too abradeth, blah, 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 a little King Jamesy. But then it says here, dear brothers and sisters, I like the New Living Translation. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. This is not a run around and dance your shoes off scripture, is it? But for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Wow. I remember after I got born again, Adrian and I were just got married. We got born again, went to church. And I don't remember this, but she likes to remind me of it. But I was on a praise and worship team, and something happened, and I didn't show up for church because of something or whatever. I don't remember. But she evidently remembers. But, you know, I got upset about something and didn't go to church that day. And I was a baby, right? I was an idiot.
I went. Right? You can stay in bed.
So something happened, and I was upset about some dumb thing or whatever, and I decided I'm not going to church. Blah, 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 blah. That's where I was at, right? That's where I was at. But I had to grow. I had to grow and develop, right? And then we had this, you know, and then you got these people that, you know, went to church, just, you know, they just grind you all the time. There's this guy that played the drums. God bless his soul. I mean, I love him now. But he was Animal off the Muppets was what he was, right? That's who he was. Animal off the Muppets, right? But sandy brown hair. That was who our drummer was. And he drove me up a wall all the time, right? It was the most annoying, my biggest flesh button. He stomped all over it, baby. I mean, he was on it, right? And he'd kick my flesh button, and he'd stomp on it, and he'd push on it, and he'd tickle it and everything else, right? But there was a lot of other people like that. But my patience, God had to work some things through me, right? Now I just, whatever. Whatever. Now I just got kids. So, you know, now they just stomp on my flesh button, right? Oh, my goodness. It's like today, one of them knocked all my guitar cases over, and I almost had a heart attack, but I'm like, went down there, like, they're in cases. It's okay. We'll see if they, we'll take them up to the roof and see if they can fly, you know. Oh, my goodness. I love them. I love them. So I just told them that. They're almost ready to meet Jesus today. Start praying and let him know that you're on your way. And then it goes, so for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Or so the translation says mature, right? That's where Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th through the 15th, it says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? To do the work of the ministry, right? Until we all, what? Come to the knowledge of the faith, or we all grow up. That's why the fivefold ministry is here to help us grow up. And so if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. You know, like right now, it's really nice to have wisdom, right? Especially everything that's going on. We need wisdom right now. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. Adrian just mentioned this earlier. There's a lot of people wavering right now. You cannot waver. You cannot waver. Right? Well, I'm seeing all these people sick, or there's people in my family sick, or I've gone through this, or I've gone through this, or I've gone through that. No, stay the course, right? Whether you've had COVID, whether you haven't had COVID, you have symptoms, or this or that, or blah, blah, blah. You know, it's easy to get condemned, getting condemned to yourself and say, well, I had this sickness come on me. I must not be in faith or anything. No, stop it. Stop it. Just move forward, amen? Hallelujah. Hone your faith. Praise God. Put your hand on your heart and know that, hey, glory to God, I'm still alive.
Amen.
Such people, and then it says, do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is tossed and blown, tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Now, the final scripture I want to read is Hebrews chapter 1. And then I'll skip down to verse 33. But Hebrews 11:1 says, Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen. No, the evidence of things what? Not seen. Right? And there's people say, well, I'll believe it when I'll believe it when I see it. Well, you don't need faith by that point, right? If you see it, you don't need the faith. Let's skip down to verse 33. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. Now, this is the hall of faith here in Hebrews. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. Now, that's not very popular right now, is it? How'd you like to have us, you know? Yes. Believers back in the Bible overthrew governments. I listened to this politician years ago when he was talking about, you know, drug up Romans, how, you know, all of you Christians, you need to submit to authority. Everything else too. And I'm like, let's see, you forgot King David. You forgot Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego that told the government to go take a flying leap. You forgot Daniel that said, I'm going to pray and do whatever I want to, and you're never going to tell me how to pray or worship God. I'm going to do what I want to, right? You know, there was a lot of insurrection and a lot of civil disobedience in the Bible, right? Because they weren't going to put up with a bunch of tyrants. And so we see these people stood up to tyrants, and this is they ruled with justice and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weaknesses was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Adrian just talked about that, about Gideon, right? Women received their loved ones back again from death. Glory to God. But others were tortured, refused to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at. Others were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Oh, that's a delightful, that's a delicious thought, isn't it? And others were killed with the sword. So went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. The Bible says they're too good for this world. Wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and in holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation. God calls these people, they have a good reputation. They were beaten, they were sawed in half, they were oppressed because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. And here we are, every little thing doesn't go our way, and then the average Christian day flips out, sucks their thumb, and wets their pants, right? Because something doesn't go exactly the way they want to. The Bible says here, they didn't receive all that God had promised yet. For God had something better in mind for us, that's us, yeah, so that they would not reach perfection without us. These people in the Old Testament, in the Bible, they saw in part, they had limited revelation, they had limited understanding, they didn't see the Messiah yet, most of them, and then what, they did not receive the full promises of God yet, but God says that they were of a good reputation. Good reputation. These people sinned, they often committed adultery, they murdered people, but they repented and came back to God, and they were still faithful to Him. And He was still faithful to them. Isn't that good? Yes. Amen. Well, just 2020 just seems terrible, awful. And it's just, you know, some people I know got corona, or I've got corona, or this or that's happened, and I missed a few months of pay, or this or that. Hey, you know what? Count it all joy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we know that according to this word, there, well, we see in the book of Acts, the second chapter, what's it promise us? That in the end times, I'm going to read that real quick here. We're in the end times. I know there's some goofballs out there. We're not in the end times at all. And are you kidding me? Jesus said that we were in the end times. So we see Acts. I want to read it. I don't want to quote it because I think it's good to read it sometimes. And we'll end here. Acts chapter 2. And this is Peter quoting the prophet Joel in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it says, "It shall come to pass in the last days." We're in the last days. What's going to happen in the last days? The days we're in right now. "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." All flesh, that's me and you. Everybody. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams." Guys, visions, dreams, revelation is only going to be on the increase very soon. It's only going to be on the increase. Why? Because the Word says it. We are in the last times. Excuse me. "And my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And they will" what? "Show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood." We've already seen that, right? "Before that great day of the notable day of the Lord comes." We are in the end times, guys. We're here. Great things are going to be happening, right? I like one minister, he said, "You know, it looks like everything's bad, but what it means is more light is entering into this earth and exposing darkness." Amen. So we can look at it one of two ways, that it's everything's been awful terrible this year. And yes, it has not been my favorite year. But we're seeing the light is coming. Amen. That the light is coming and the darkness is being exposed and they're running like rats. Yes. Amen. They are running like the dirty, filthy rats that they are. If they're not going to repent, then they're going to have judgment. Amen. And God's glory will be falling and it's going to manifest like never before. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord God. We thank you that we are going to count it all joy. Amen. That we're seeing our brothers and sisters in the past that have been sawed in half, that have been oppressed, that have been beaten, that have been rotted in prison, Lord God, that they have done that for you, Lord. But we thank you tonight, Lord. They're walking in health. We're walking in blessings. And we thank you that the best is yet to come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Amen. I preach myself happy. I don't take any of it back. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Wednesday night, we're going to have prayer again. It was kind of short this week, but Wednesday night, man, if you're not on that prayer group, get on the prayer group. It is a blast. We're praying things out. Continue to pray for the president and our nation. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. This is going to be great. So, amen. Hallelujah. We'll have a great week. We will see you next Saturday.